Well, as you can see, there are so many amazing things that are happening in Uganda through Gaba Community Church, where Pastor Peter is a senior pastor and he leads Africa Renewal Ministries. I've had the privilege of being there a couple times and personally seeing all that God is doing. And just this past summer, we sent Pastor Jason and Pastor Cameron there as well. They were able to be part of the ministry and see it happening. So this morning, I want to welcome a special guest, Pastor Peter Kasaravu. He is not really a guest. He's a part of the Wayside family. So Pastor Peter, as he'll tell you, has really been a part of Wayside for just under 30 years. And there are so many amazing things happening in and through Africa Renewal Ministry. So I'm not going to take any time from Peter. They already welcomed you. I was going to have him do that. So, brother, preach the word to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, Wayside. It's always exciting for me to come back to Wayside and to enjoy worship with you. I wanted to say this to you, the second service. I loved the warmth in the second service. I loved the first service, but I really loved the warmth in the second service. Loud, clapping, please keep on keeping on. Sounds a little bit like Africa. But we're a little bit louder than that, though. But I am so excited to be here. Every time I come back to Wayside, I see many of my friends. I talk to many of them. And I'm reminded of the great things that God has done in our ministry because of you. You have seen many pictures on the little video on the screen. It all started here. The Lord brought me here as a young man. I was not yet married in 1993. I was invited by Pastor Draper of Maranatha Bible Church, who actually said, I want to introduce you to my friends. So he brought me to Wayside Chapel, introduced me to the pastors. I was introduced to a man called Russell Kelfer, and that started an amazing journey where you have been involved in the support and engagement with our ministry since 1993. I was not yet married at the time. Now I am married, and my oldest is already married last year, which shows that it's been a very long relationship. But also that little church that you saw, I think you've seen the tent, is now a mother church to 817 churches around the country of Uganda. Thank you. The first time I came here, a few people from this place said, we would like to work with you and support children. Today, we have in our sponsorship program more than 6,000 children that go to school every day, that get a meal at school, that find purpose. Thank you, Wayside, for what you've done. We have brought our children's choir many times, and they have stayed in your homes. They performed here. And many of those kids are not kids. Many of them are now married. Some of them already have children. It's amazing what God has done through this partnership. I want to say big thank you to Pastor Roger and the church for what you're doing, for the love that you've shown us and the partnership that has continued and the joy that we receive by the transformation that comes from this partnership. Thank you, Wayside. We love you. We appreciate you, and keep on keeping on. Amen. Today I have a message for us, and it's the power of the gospel. That's the message that I have. And it's something that is a reminder to every one of us, because I believe that the majority of us here, you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Many times we actually take what we have for granted. I come here many times, and whenever I come to this country, I hear of all that is happening. And many times when I talk to many of you, there's a kind of feeling that there's no hope for the future. And that is a reality. When I'm at home, we go through a lot. And there is that feeling that, is there any hope for the future? I want to say this, that the hope for the future can only come if we go back to the beginning. And the beginning is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always listen to the news, and what I've found, that news on your TV is bad news. I mean, there's someone has shot someone, there's something going on. It's usually not good news. But friends, we have the good news. And this good news is the hope for our nation, is the hope for our families, is the hope for everything that you can ever think about. So that's why I want to remind us what you already know. And I pray that today God will actually encourage you. Let me pray before I continue. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that you use these few words to encourage my brothers and sisters, that we continue pursuing you, that Lord God will realize that we have a treasure, and the treasure is in the gospel of the kingdom. So Lord, we pray that you speak to us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17 is what I'm going to read today. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, for as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." You know, when you read this portion beginning with verse 1, you're going to find that the word gospel is repeated multiple times. I don't believe that that was just a chance. Paul was writing to the church in Rome and was saying, you know what? You're going through a lot, just like we are going through a lot. But the hope of the world is the gospel. That's why he kept repeating it and repeating it. So Paul was saying, I know you are surrounded by paganism, you're surrounded by corruption, you're surrounded by persecution, but you have a gift. You have a treasure, and that treasure is the gospel. And Paul was saying that this gospel has the power to save. That salvation comes only when we believe in the gospel. That this gospel is so powerful that it is the one that can reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, in my country, we have very many tribes. We actually have 52 tribes, and we speak more than 40 languages. So we have lots of issues, and this issue is I'm different because I speak a different language. Now, when you look at us, we all look the same, but for us, when we are there, we say we don't look the same. So then we have issues because we speak a different language, or we come from a different region. Now, for your country, you have more colors, you know, people, it's interesting. Different colors, different hair, you're different. But let me tell you this, the gospel can bring we who come from different backgrounds together. So Paul was saying there is power in that gospel. So the question is, what is the gospel? The gospel is evangel. It's the same word from which we get the word evangelism, evangelist, evangelical. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is called good news. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ. It is that message that all of us know that we were sinners. And we had that message that Jesus came here on the earth And he found us messed up. And he told us what it means to follow God. But he not only stopped there, he went on the cross for us and he died for our sins, that we will not get the punishment of God. So the gospel is the good news that God is reconciling us. We are far away from God, back to himself. No wonder when Jesus was beginning preaching the gospel, where did he begin? He began in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So the gospel is that good news to those of us who are poor in the spirit. It is good news that brings liberty to those who are captives. The gospel is good news to bring recovery of sight. The gospel is good news to those who are oppressed. So friends, we need the good news of the gospel. Now friends, what does this gospel do? This is a reminder to each and every one of us. What I found is that the first way the gospel does is to change us. It changes me first before it changes any other person. No wonder Paul spoke very boldly and he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes." No wonder he said that if there were people who are called sinners, he said, "I'm one of the worst." And all of us, we know the story of Peter, the story of Paul. He was off. He was bad. He was evil. And when he got an encounter with Jesus, he was so turned around, he was so changed that he became the person who actually is speaking to us today. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel changed me." He says in the book of Philippians chapter 3 about himself and verse 4, he says, "If anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh," he said, "I am the one." Because he says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day." He says, "I am a Jew." He says, "I'm coming from the tribe of Benjamin." He said, "If you're talking about being a Hebrew, I'm a pure Hebrew." He says that, "You know what? I am also a Pharisee." In other words, he says, "I read through this book. I know the law." Not only that, he says that concerning zeal, "I was a very zealous man." But he found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, it changed everything about his life. This man was changed by the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel made this man, who was a persecutor, to become a follower of Jesus and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. And then he goes on to preach and to tell people about what God did. So this is what I know about the gospel changing me first. The first thing is that it changes our conscience. We start realizing that actually we need the help of God. It softens our hearts to become sensitive to the words of God. That's what the gospel does. Not only that, but the gospel changes our hearts and we become new creatures. There's a transformation that God does that cannot be described. Every one of you have your story. I also have mine. I was 19 years old when a friend of mine shared the gospel with me. I grew up in the church. I was a nominal Christian. I was going to church with my parents, but none of us were saved. And then my mother got saved. And when she got saved, she came and told us what God had done. That was very interesting. But then we started seeing her changing. And she said, Peter, you need to be like me. And I said, I think those are for old people. Then later on, I get an experience where my friend shared with me that he had also had an experience with Jesus. He said, I accepted Jesus. I realized that I'm a sinner. I realized I need help. At that time, I was becoming a rebellious child. And that's why I think my mother said, you need Jesus. And friend, I saw a change in my friend. I remember the change in my mother. I said, I need what my friend has. And today I want you to know that it's now 42 years since Jesus changed my life. There is power in the gospel, and God changes people. But friends, not only that, when the gospel comes inside you, when Jesus changes your life, there is a way he starts giving you the ability to say no to the things that were binding you before. That's the power of the gospel. It has the power to break our sinful habits that have been enslaving us. So that is the power of the gospel. I have another statement concerning the gospel. The gospel realigns me and you to our destiny. What I've found is that many, many times as we grow up, as we start in life, we think that we are going to make this of our lives. I want to be like this. I want to do this with my life. We have our own personal dreams and desires. But you know, the Bible says that God has a very special plan for each and every one of you. Interestingly, that's what happened to Paul. He was going to be a Pharisee. He is going to teach the Old Testament. He is going to be zealous for the law. And then he encounters Jesus. And when he encounters Jesus, he realizes that God has a bigger plan for him. And the plan is to be the person that shares the gospel, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He found a mission for life. And that mission ended up with him being one of the greatest writers who actually helped us with several books in our Bible. He found a mission in his life. Now, brothers and sisters, some of us have a selfish idea of where we want to be and what we want to do with our life. But when you find Jesus, it is important for you to ask him, what do you want me to do with my life? Because God wants to use what is inside of you to actually be a blessing, not only to yourself, but to your community and the rest of the world. Now, friends, there's a scripture found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God desired and decided to make you the way you are, to put skills and talents and abilities for the purpose that your life will be effective and will touch other people. So we are made by God for his own purpose. But we never find that purpose until we find Jesus through the gospel. Now, some people find that purpose later on in life. But when you find it, you will find what we call fulfillment in your life. Now, friends, this scripture usually remains dormant until you discover Jesus, until you discover what his will is for your life. So Paul, he met Jesus. Jesus changed him from a persecutor to an apostle, a preacher to the Gentiles, and a writer of some of the books in our New Testament. For Peter, he was a fisherman. He was set to be a businessman. He finds Jesus. Jesus changes him, and he becomes a fisher of men. Do you remember that woman at the well? She encounters Jesus, broken woman with all kinds of issues. And when she finds Jesus, she runs to the town. She actually shares the message. She says, "Come and see the man who told me everything about myself." From being a very evil sinner to an evangelist, on the very first day, she got saved. That is what happens when you encounter the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, as we think about the world and we complain about what is going on, God is calling us to realize that through us, he is going to change the world. Someone said that destinies are found at the feet of Jesus. You cannot change people, but you have a role in getting many people to find Jesus by sharing all the little thing that you know. There's a man called Spurgeon. This is what he said. He said, "When we preach Christ crucified, we have no reason to stammer or stutter or hesitate or apologize. There is nothing in the gospel of which we have any cause to be ashamed." So I'm going to ask you a question today. When you discovered Jesus, have you been able to share what you found with your neighbors? Are you shy about what you have? Friends, God is calling us to share what we have. So that brings me to this statement. The gospel makes you and me a witness. The gospel makes you and me a witness. Again, we go back to that statement. Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." In other words, he's saying, "I'm not ashamed of sharing the gospel. I do not shy away from telling others his power that has changed my life and others." That's what he was saying. I should share. Now, the gospel is good news, and good news must be shared. Now, friends, back home, ladies want to show the shoes they buy and the dresses they buy. When they get a new dress or a new shoe, they make sure they tell their friends, and they make sure the friends see that they brought a new shoe that day. Now, I don't know about women in America, but in Uganda, I see that happening all the time. Now, these days, Uganda is developing, so a few of my young men have also started buying cars. The guys love to show cars. And it's interesting because they want to show me, their pastor, their cars. So they spiritualize it. And they say, "Pastor, I want you to come and dedicate my car." So on Sunday, I go out and then they show me the car. And of course, they want me to look at it. So we open the car and then we lay hands on the car and dedicate it. But the whole reason is this: I want pastor to know that I also have a car. Good news has to be shared. Now, friends, we have better news. Once we were sinners and we experienced the saving power of Jesus, and that Jesus changed our lives, we are now called saints, yet we are sinners. We are forgiven, yet we are a mess. So good news must be shared. Now, there's a portion of scripture. It's a long portion, but I'm just going to read it so that you get a context of what it is, and then I'll make a few comments. In John chapter 1, verse 35 to 43, Jesus is getting his new disciples, his followers. Verse 35, the Bible says, the next day again, John, standing with two of his disciples. Now, this is John the Baptist, verse 35. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by. John the Baptist looks at Jesus and he points at him and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He points to Jesus. The two disciples heard him saying this and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? They said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? Verse 39, and he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak followed Jesus. He was Andrew. Andrew was Simon, Peter's brother. He went and found his brother Simon. And he said to him, we have found the Messiah. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip also found Nathanael. And he said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets also wrote about. Again, Nathanael said to him, can anything come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. This is a very interesting portion of scripture. We find how Jesus got his followers. These are guys who found Jesus, they loved him, and did not stop. They went immediately to tell their friends what they have found and whom they have found. Today the church has made the gospel very complicated. We always think that for you to become a person who can share your faith, you need to go to a 3-month training to learn how to share your faith. We think that it's going to be a professional way of doing it for you to share your faith. Sharing our faith should be simple because we are sharing what has happened to us. Friends, Jesus is calling the church to go back to the basics. And the basic is this: Jesus changed my soul. I am a new creature. I want you to find what I found. That's what the gospel is. You don't need to worry about what will happen out of that. You just need to share it as simple as you can, and God will do the work of the changing. Andrew approached the person closest to him, a family member, and his brother was Peter. Friends, I want to ask you a question. Do your family members know what Jesus did in your life? Do your brothers and sisters know about it? Now, Philip found his friend. This is a friend from his hometown, his acquaintance. Maybe his workmate. And his message was very simple. Come and see. We have found the one. Now, friends, there are a few things we need to remember. The gospel is as simple as sharing what Jesus has done in your life. Simple. Not only that, the gospel is about starting where you are. This man went home straight and said, Peter, Cephas, Simon, I have found the man. Now, friends, are you excited about what God did in your life? Are you excited that your sins were forgiven? Do you know that you hold in your heart the power that can change the craziest of sinners? Do you know that in your hand you have the power that can change an addict that is next door to you? It's as simple, but also start with the person closest to you. But there is something else that we need to realize. The gospel is telling your story. It's telling what you've experienced as simple as you can. I would like to give you three stories so that you can at least relate to them. They are from Uganda, but I think they can help you. The first story is a story of a young man called Joseph. This happened many years ago. He's now old. He's in his 50s. But Joseph got saved early when our church was still in the tent. He was on fire. Had just finished high school, dropped out of school, but he just was on fire for God. He actually became my interpreter. And then time came when Joseph decided he wants to go home and find where his mother is, because it had taken long. Now, Joseph never returned to Gaba. We waited and he couldn't come. So after about 1.5 years, Joseph comes and I said, "Joseph, where have you been?" He says, "I went, I found my mother, but in the village, there was no church. So I decided I'm going to evangelize and witness to everyone in my community." Now remember, Joseph is just not so old in salvation, maybe a year and a half. Now he is evangelizing his community. So I said, "Okay, so tell me." He said, "I'm now a pastor." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes." So I asked, "How many people do you have?" He had slightly over 20 people. He got so excited and started sharing. So on Sunday, he goes to share with the men's Bible study, men's Sunday school. And the guys contribute some money and they buy him a bicycle. So Joseph goes back. We have some friends here who have been to Uganda multiple times. That is beyond Mbarara. So Joseph goes back to his village. And he comes back again after 1 year. He said, "Joseph, how is the church?" He says, "I have 2 churches. I said, "What?" He said, "You know, I got a bicycle, so I started going up and down, and now I have..." "So who is the pastor?" He says, "I ride my bicycle, go preach here, and then I go to the other one, preach here." So we said, "Okay, now we need to help this guy go to Bible school." So we helped him go to Bible school because we feared he may become a cult. So I want to say this. Today, Joseph is a pastor over 62 churches in that region. Every time I look at Joseph, I say, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the gospel. It's amazing what God has done. These days, people in his region call him Bishop. So it's interesting. Then I have another story. This one is a very interesting story too. We have a medical center back home. I think you saw the pictures. And one day, a young girl, there's a university next door to us, it's called Kampala University. There's a young girl from Somalia. She's a Somali girl. You know, Somalians, they put on those dark robes and they cover themselves. So she comes in this dark robe. And she tells the staff, the nurses, that, "I have come, I am pregnant, and in my country, in my culture, in my people, I'm a Muslim, they are going to kill me if I don't commit abortion. Can you help me to commit abortion?" My people say, "No, no, 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 no. We are Christians, we are believers, we love Jesus, and committing abortion is killing. It's not right." She says, "They're going to kill me." He said, "No, please don't commit abortion. We are going to pray for you, and we are going to give you free care. And after you give birth, you come back. Let's talk." So anyway, the girl ended up coming back. When she was ready to give birth, She entered the medical center, and the day she gave birth, she said, "You told me not to kill the baby. Here's your baby. Me, I'm gone." We don't know where that girl is. But the staff, they said, "We need to take care of this little boy." So one of the staff said, "I'm going to be the mother to Moses." And each of these staff, they contribute money every month to make sure Moses, this young man is called Moses. If you're from Africa, if you've been around Africans, you know that that's a Somali. So this is the only Somali we have in our church. He keeps running around our church every Sunday. He's now about, I think he should be 6 years now, a very special boy. Every time I look at him, I say, there is power in the name of Jesus. But not only that, when people have Jesus and they share their faith, this boy is alive because people knew whom they believe and they share their faith. Now I have another story. And the story I have is the story of Francis. Now Francis is a young man. He's not young anymore. He grew up in the countryside. He got polio when he was young. So he was crawling all around until somehow the Lord provided and he was able to have a wheelchair. He found Jesus, and there's a missionary who was living in that community who actually discipled him and told him, "Man, God looks at you as a valuable man and he wants to use you." So this man, Francis, discovered whom he is and discovered that there's value in his life. Today, Francis is married. Francis has those beautiful children as you can see them. Francis began a ministry. I traveled to California one time and I told them about his story. Johnny and Friends and another organization, they said, "We are going to help him get wheelchairs." Today, this man travels the whole country of Uganda. And he feels that God has called him to give a message of hope to the people with disabilities. As we speak, he has given away more than 15,000 wheelchairs. A man who didn't have hope, who found Jesus, but also said, "I am going to share what I have with the rest of the people." So friends, there is power in the gospel. And that gospel transforms us. And when the gospel transforms us, we get a calling and a mission for life. But not only that, God wants us to share that which we have. What I've found is that the gospel does not only change us, but also the gospel changes communities. I come from that community of Gaba that some of you have visited and some of you are going to visit, where I have seen God changing human beings in our community. But not only that, God using our little church to become an oasis of hope in our community. Friends, that's what Wayside has done over the years. Because of who you are and what you've done, the world is a better place because of Wayside Chapel. Because you are a family of God who have not stopped to be what God has called you. But I know that there are people here who actually, yes, you belong to Wayside Chapel, you come to church here, but somehow you sit on the fringes, you are expecting the pastors to do it. But what we tell our people back home on Sunday, this is like a workshop, a repair shop. We tell people on Sunday, this is like coming to a gas station. We come to be equipped that we may go out of those doors to become the voice of Jesus in the communities where we come. I don't know if you have realized that, but you have the greatest weapon there is to defeat the powers of Satan, because the gospel has the power to transform. So this is my calling to you today. Do not keep quiet on what you have. You don't need to know so very much. What you need to realize that I was changed and I can use my voice to be an agent of other people to be changed. I would like us to bow down our heads that we may pray as we finish this service today. And as you bow down your head today, I want to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus as your very personal Lord and Savior? In your heart of hearts, have you given Him your life? Have you asked Him to become your very Lord and Savior? If you've not, you have the opportunity to open your heart and say, Jesus, become the Lord and the Master of my life. Take charge of my life. Be the King in my heart. Help me to know myself and help me to know you. But I also know that this time, even as we are bowed, there's a call on each and every one of us to be a witness. So my call to you today is, will you open your mouth? Will you share what you believe? Will you get out of your comfort zone? Will you get out of your fear and be a voice, an instrument of the gospel? So Lord, I pray that you give us the courage, you take away our fear, and that we will be like Paul, who said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because we know that through you and through your gospel, our neighbors will be changed and our nation will be a better place. So Lord, I pray for courage, I pray for faith, and I pray that we'll obey that which you've called us to do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.